Now, from the heart of America, it's the Eagle 93.9 podcast.
Tomorrow afternoon on The Drive, you will hear Jerry Wade. He is a candidate for alderman in the 4th Ward here in Columbia. We'll also talk with Todd Burke about handgun safety, concealed carry, and related legal issues. That's tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday, here on The Drive on the Eagle 93.9. Our guest now, making a repeat visit, is one of the few voices in the major media who has been writing and speaking about the impending North American Union. Our guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi. Jerry, welcome back to The Drive.
Derek, great honor and pleasure to be back with you. Thank you.
The North American Union has gotten very little attention from the major media, to the point where I noticed that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff were up in Ottawa, Canada, for a meeting of the Security and Prosperity Partnership about a week ago Friday. And the you wouldn't know it from reading any news accounts from that weekend. Did you track the meeting, and if so, what happened there?
Well, you're right, you know, Derek. What happens is the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, while it was declared in Waco, Texas, March 23rd, 2005, and it is, in fact, the current status of relationships between the three countries. We're just take a look at SPP.gov, that's SamPeterPaul.gov. We are integrating and harmonizing political integration between Mexico, Canada, and the United States at a very rapid rate. Some 20 working groups, the bureaucrats of the three countries meeting and doing this, and high-level cabinet meetings like what went on, the one you just described, with Condoleezza Rice and Michael Chertoff up in Canada. But yet the media in the United States is not covering it, and nor in Canada. I guess probably not in Mexico either. The publics in the three countries don't know, you know, why our borders are wide open, why Mexican trucks are coming in. But if you take a look at the agenda, the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America is designed to have NAFTA move into the second state, which is very deep integration from the three countries. And I've been arguing if we allow it to continue, it'll be the same kind of process that in Europe ended up producing a European Union. Here we'll have a North American Union and probably ultimately even a new currency, which has already been named. I mean, the economists proposing and advocating this call it the Amero designed to replace the dollar.
Now, the meeting, as I understand it from those sources in Canada, actually the Canadian press did a fair job of covering the meeting in Ottawa. It appeared that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Homeland Security, and their counterparts in Mexico and Canada were there to hear recommendations from a group called the North American Competitiveness Council. What is the NACC?
North American Competitiveness Council was formed of a group of multinational corporations, something like 20 of them. It was formed under the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. And it's a business advisory group that is setting the agenda, the multinationals setting the agenda for how North America will be integrated, what our harmonized and integrated rules are going to be under this North American structure that they're putting into place. And, you know, very little of what they're actually discussing or deciding is ever revealed. I mean, you know, for instance, the working papers, the recommendations, most Americans are unaware of it, that, you know, we're moving towards a North American steel policy, a North American environmental policy, a North American health policy. We're moving away from having a United States energy or steel policy. And when you hear the in the Department of Commerce, the various undersecretaries, like Franklin Lavin, who were, you know, this reports to, SPP.gov reports to, these working groups are organized in the Department of Commerce, even though their membership includes many different departments. You know, Lavin says things like, well, if we have pollution in Lake Erie, we have to consult with Canada to solve it. We can't just solve it by ourselves. Well, of course, that's true. But, you know, it doesn't mean we have to have a North American regulatory organization for the Great Lakes and all the use of the water in North America, where if we change water policy in the United States, we can't do it unless Canada and Mexico agree, or any rules formed in that working group end up, you know, superseding even U.S. Supreme Court decisions. People aren't aware that the Chapter 11 tribunals already operating under NAFTA are constituted that our Supreme Court or laws of any given state or the federal government can be overturned if a Chapter 11 NAFTA tribunal decides that an investor in Mexico or Canada is harmed by the law or the decision.
We're talking with Jerry Corsi on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. So what you're saying, Jerry, is that if a Canadian corporation feels it's been wronged by an American corporation, doesn't like the decision of a United States court, it can take it to a NAFTA tribunal, and that tribunal has the legal authority to supersede the ruling of the American court?
Yes. It can actually say, for instance, a state passes an environmental law, and the Canadian investor says, that law hurt my business. The NAFTA 11 tribunal could overturn the state law and award the Canadian businessman millions of dollars of damages. If that U.S. law went to the Supreme Court under NAFTA would have to comply with the NAFTA Chapter 11 decision, and even the Supreme Court would not be able to uphold U.S. environmental laws if a NAFTA Chapter 11 tribunal ruled today that a Canadian or a Mexican investor was harmed by the law. That's in place.
That's something most Americans aren't aware of.
They have no clue.
Yeah, we're talking about the Security and Prosperity Partnership. Jerome Corsi is our guest on the Eagle 93.9. He has written extensively about this. You'll find his articles at WorldNet Daily and Human Events Online. We'll post links to those in the show notes later tonight at DerekPGilbert.com. I am Derek P. Gilbert. And sounds so formal. You're listening to The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. His book tour is continuing. I'm talking about Neil Bortz. His new book is Somebody's Got to Say It, and we'll have another copy to give away tomorrow morning. Just make sure you sign up as an Eagle News Junkie at the website TheEagle939.com. TheEagle939.com. Get your name in there, and Tim Murphy will announce another winner of the new Neil Bortz book tomorrow between 5:30 and 8 on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Speaking of authors, we're talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Just completed a new book on the North American Union. Jerry, when is that book going to be out and available?
Well, the book is on North American Union, should be out in June, and it'll be called The Late Great United States of America.
Compelling title.
Yes, it's about the integration that's going on in North America with Canada and Mexico, and how we'll end up, unless we do something about it, with a structure like in Europe, producing the European Union, here the North American Union, and our own currency, which here is being called the Amero instead of the Euro.
Now, Jerry, the meeting that took place in Ottawa just about a week ago, Condoleezza Rice, Michael Chertoff, and their counterparts from Canada and Mexico were there hearing recommendations, 50 of them, I read, from this North American Competitiveness Council. Now, you say that the NACC is a group of multinational corporations, business leaders that are setting the agenda. Are they getting any input at all from independent business owners, mom-and-pop shops, small business owners, or is this strictly being guided by the multinationals?
The agenda of the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, or SPP.gov, is a multinational agenda. The small businesses, manufacturing, and any of the three countries, forget about it. The publics are lucky they even know the meetings happened, let alone who attended it. All three governments are being very secretive about this process. It's not an open and transparent process. There are summaries published on spp.gov, sanpeterpaul.gov, a government website maintained by the Department of Commerce. You can see, for instance, the 2005 and 2006 reports of the leaders. But I doubt if you'll find any summary about this meeting that occurred in Canada, even on the SPP website. The Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, under which this North American Competitiveness Council is formed, is hard to find out details about. You sure won't find the agenda. You won't find any minutes or notes of the meeting. I doubt very much that those 50 recommendations were openly published.
I've not been able to find anything on the web.
And, right, well, that's a pretty good indication.
Yeah.
That's pretty typical. I mean, even the membership of this North American Competitiveness Council, I had to look to other groups like the Council of the Americas, which is David Rockefeller funded and created a group, also proposing the global multinational agenda for North American integration, but at least it had more detail on it than even the government website did. This is not a transparent, openly public process that's going on in SBP.gov. There's some notices of it, but, you know, try to participate. Try to find out what they're concluding. It's very hard.
Jerome Corsi is our guest on the Eagle 93.9 as we talk about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the forthcoming North American Union. Aren't there some benefits, though, to streamlining the way business is conducted across borders? I mean, is this entirely a bad thing?
Well, of course, the whole idea and the whole agenda is being proposed. I mean, it's almost Orwellian, like George Orwell would write it, in terms of how this is all aimed for our good. It's supposed to make us more secure, more prosperous. It's just you have to buy into the multinational business agenda for that. If you happen to think that small businesses or manufacturing or all the businesses going to China or unrestrained immigration from Mexico, if you think some of those things are a bad idea, you lose. And under SPP.gov, go ahead and try to register your opinions. Nobody cares. I mean, you know, right now Americans are mad that the Department of Transportation approved finally to get this pilot test going with 100 Mexican trucking companies entering the United States with their long-haul rigs to be able to go anywhere they want in the United States. Well, too bad, because SPP.gov, if you take a look at the 2005 and 2006 report to the leaders, they've set up fast lanes, FAST, at the border crossing, so Mexican trucks can come across with only electronic checks.
Really?
Yes, they'll be trusted traders under SPP.gov. And as a trusted trader, once you're registered, you know, there'll be procedures for registering the cargoes, the drivers, et cetera. And our new Secretary of Commerce, Mary Peters, announced we're going to be able now to go down into Mexico and inspect the trucks. Well, that's all great, but, you know, the problem is Mexican drug cartels have been buying trucking companies for 10 years.
Hmm.
And these trucks that are going to come into the United States have historically not been up to U.S. standards in terms of safety. National security interests, you know, do you think anybody's going to look to see if there's any contraband or weapons or anything else or terrorists involved in using these trucks? Only less than 4% are going to be looked at, and all the rest of it's going to be just trusted trader SPP electronics.
You know, this makes my hair stand on end. There was a story that came out last week that we reported on here at the Eagle 93.9 about a truck that was registered in Texas that was intercepted by the Mexican military in Matamoros, just across from Brownsville, which contained enough hardware, military hardware, including armor-plated pickup trucks with bulletproof glass, to outfit three special ops teams. I mean, we're talking automatic weapons, grenade launchers, and the whole nine yards. This was intercepted just across from Brownsville, Texas. Don't know what it was for. Don't know who it was intended to, you know, who was the target, but
it's just a trusted trader. Don't worry about it.
It's a trusted
trader. They'll have RFID chips, and it'll pass through, and it'll just go through the little computers, and they'll say, come on ahead. I mean, our state highway patrol are not trained all across the United States to handle Mexican truck drivers. And, of course, Department of Transportation says, well, they're all going to have all the insurance they need in the United States. Well, you know, that's great. Let's see what happens with the first accident that occurs in Minnesota or in Iowa or in Maine or in Nebraska with a Mexican truck driver, let's say, speaks minimal English, even though we were assured he's going to speak perfect English.
Mm-hmm.
Fatalities in the accident, the driver did not know how to dial 911. When he gets there, he says, well, he doesn't know anything about insurance. Besides, he's got a commercial driver's license down in Mexico that when you call up or enter into the commercial driver license system in Mexico, they say, I'm sorry, our system's down.
We're talking with Jerome Corsi on the Eagle 93.9. Jerry, how big a problem is this with Mexican drivers, Mexican trucks? Are we really looking at unregulated, unsafe vehicles on the highways?
Well, of course, if you listen to the Department of Transportation, everything's going to be just fine. These trucks will be inspected in Mexico. They'll meet safety standards. Of course, I've never seen anything in Mexico that met U.S. standards. And if you take a look at the people we're relying on in Mexico, the bureaucrats, well, the history of Mexico is that they're all corrupt. They're bought by the drug cartels. We're right now having a drug war going along our border. Our Border Patrol, like Ramos and Campion, these two Border Patrol agents who are in federal prison because they are shot at a fleeing drug smuggler running back into Mexico, And, you know, they were not going to be prosecuted by the Border Patrol for firing their weapons, but the Mexican consul had intervened, and the Bush administration got Johnny Sutton, the prosecutor in El Paso. He got on the case. Now the border agents are in prison. Of course, I've been writing in WorldNet Daily saying that Johnny Sutton also hid evidence and lied. Davila, the drug smuggler, while he had immunity, came back into the United States and committed a second drug offense, brought another 750 pounds of marijuana in a different van across the border, probably using his border pass, his gold elite card that Johnny Sutton gave him and Department of Homeland Security signed with Christopher Sanchez's badge number on. And, of course, Johnny Sutton denied that happened. Instead of, you know, canceling the case and prosecuting his lead witness, he sealed the record, and we had to go find, I found, and others, the Department of Homeland Security investigative reports and the DEA investigative reports that proved Davila had been involved in the second incident. And Johnny Sutton was lying, and the information was kept from the court, and it was sealed, and the court couldn't hear it. The jury wasn't able to hear it. Now, that's the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and welcome to an integrated North America.
I want to talk a little bit more about that in the next segment, Jerry. The Mexican trucks, who benefits? Who gains from letting them have free access to American highways?
Multinational corporations who get to reduce now the cost of shipping as close to zero as possible. The drivers operate at about half of what U.S. drivers do. It'll put pressure on U.S. drivers, both union and independent, all through the United States to lower their rates. I mean, the whole thing with this North American integration, SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, that even Mexico is losing to China. And the goal is now we're going to open up these Mexican ports, like in Lazaro Cardenas, down in the Pacific, so that China can bring in huge container ships with goods and containers, and up they can come in Mexican trucks up through Laredo, Texas, onto the Trans-Texas Corridor, the NAFTA Superhighway. We don't need manufacturing in America anymore. The great arsenal of democracy that Franklin Roosevelt talked about, the one World War II, forget it. We shut it down and shipped it to Beijing.
Another thing I want to talk about as we go forward, and we're running out of time in this segment, but I want to talk about the Kansas City Smart Port and how this all factors into the NAFTA Superhighway. Just to summarize, the whole SPP, this is being done for the benefit of multinationals. Is this whole thing then just to cut the cost of transportation of goods from outside the country into the heartland of America?
Well, it's also to allow the goods to be manufactured in China. I mean, China actually has slave labor. Why wouldn't good multinationals want to use it? I mean, I'm talking about political prisoners in concentration camps that make goods for the U.S. market. You know, they can't use our own slaves here because they know that we'll say it's wrong if they use African Americans. But they use Chinese nobody can see and do it under the Security and Prosperity Partnership and have a competitiveness council in North America declare that if they can't use those slaves, they won't be competitive. I guess it's all right.
Why not just bring it in like they do now at Long Beach or Los Angeles?
Because Long Beach and Los Angeles use U.S. stevedores and longshoremen. It's a great distance from the center of the country. Got to truck those containers over the Great Desert and Rocky Mountains into the heartland. If they just float on these container ships, and the post-Panamax container ships are being built to hold 12,500 containers. That's like taking two or three city blocks of 20-story skyscrapers and moving them on the ocean.
Our guest is author Jerome Corsi. His forthcoming book, The Late Great United States of America, we'll look for that sometime around June. We're talking about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the impending North American Union, and why we in Mid-Missouri should be very worried about this. Our conversation continues as The Drive continues in less than 4 minutes on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. The Drive continues with our special guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a regular contributor to WorldNet Daily and Human Events Online. He's got a forthcoming book on the North American Union, and that is our topic this afternoon. Jerry, welcome back.
Derek, great to be back with you. Thank you.
Okay. Now, just before the break, I mentioned that our governor here in Missouri, Governor Matt Blunt, spent some time in Mexico just a couple weekends ago pitching the Kansas City Smart Port to the government of Mexico as an inland distribution point for goods coming up into the United States from Mexico. What is the Kansas City Smart Port, and how does this figure into this whole North American Union?
Well, it's key to the whole plan of this Trans-Texas corridor, beginning in Interstate 35, this new four, you know, this four football field wide highway they're going to build parallel to Interstate 35, four football fields wide, a new train, truck, car lanes, whose purpose is really to, you know, you say Kansas City, an inland port, where's the water? Well, yeah. the water is Lázaro Cárdenas. It's down in the Pacific in Mexico. Because the goal of Kansas City is to, it's not Mexican manufactured goods they're talking about bringing up into Kansas City. These are containers from China. The whole plan is to take these huge container ships, post-Panamax. They won't fit through the Panama Canal until we dig a new one, which is in the works. These container ships are going to come on in. They're going to come on the Pacific ports. They're going to offload, and they're going to, you know, non-union workers, Mexican workers. They'll put these 12,500 containers in a ship. That's a container ship, the biggest you've ever seen. Take the biggest one you've seen and triple it. It's like, you know, maybe three city blocks of 20-story skyscrapers being moved on the ocean waters. And it's still cheaper to keep those sailing for a few days to get, you know, underneath the West Coast over to Lázaro Cárdenas on the Pacific and bring them up where they're almost directly south of Kansas City through Mexican ports at Lázaro Cárdenas and Manzanilla, through Monterrey in Mexico, Mexican trucks, Mexican trains. They'll come through. This is why we're doing this pilot test, opening up the United States to Mexican trucks. Hmm. Department of Transportation announced it 2 weeks ago. Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, the multinational agenda, they decided that these trucks will come through as trusted traders, Mexican trucks, just RFID chips, radio frequency ID, all electronics. It'll be zip, zip, zip through the border on fast lanes. Go to spp.gov and read the 2005 and 2006 report to the leaders. It's all described right there. And in these trucks come into the United States and head up towards Kansas City, where they have a Mexican customs office in Kansas City.
So they won't clear customs at Brownsville or Laredo or any of those other points along the Texas border. They will clear customs in Kansas City.
Well, they'll actually have cleared customs when the RFID chips register them. They just won't stop to clear customs. They'll have been registered. Their contents are supposed to be all electronically recorded. Of course, don't worry that Mexican drug cartels have been buying trucking companies for a decade. And, of course, we ought to trust all the Mexican bureaucrats because, you know, they're bought and owned by the drug cartels.
Hmm.
And Mexico's a criminal country, as far as I can figure out, where lying is the rule of the day in terms of the drug cartels and, you know, the government officials that they buy and pay for.
Well, sadly, they don't have a monopoly on that.
Well, unfortunately, they don't. But, you know, I've been publishing some of the internal emails that we got through a Missouri Sunshine Law of the smart port officials, and I guess they are going right into the lying culture. They're buying right into it.
Now,
they were saying that this was going to be U.S. sovereign soil, this Mexican customs, as far as their internal emails say, that the State Department has to clear on this. This form C-175 has not been cleared off on yet. And until that happens, the State Department is saying, looks like that Mexican customs facility will be Mexican soil. So you're going to have a little piece of Mexico right there in your inland port in Kansas City.
Just 2 hours west of here in good old Columbia. Jerry Corsi is our guest on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Jerry, do you have a website where this information has been collected for people who want to read through it?
Well, we've put a lot on stopspp.com, including the 1,000 pages that I got from a Freedom of Information Act request on spp.gov. Our website is stopspp.com, and the government website is spp.gov.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good website to look at. And then my articles in WorldNet Daily and Human Events, if you search my name, Corsi, you'll see the articles I've written, which are extensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've compiled everything into a book, which will be out in June. It's going to be called The Late Great United States of America.
And look forward to that. It's going to be disturbing, but required reading. Now, Jerry, we had talked a little bit. You'd mentioned the names of the Border Patrol agents, Ramos and Campion, who were recently sentenced to long prison terms for shooting a drug smuggler in the backside. What is the status of those two gentlemen?
Well, they're in federal prison,
mm-hmm.
and their appeals are proceeding. But we've been developing a lot of evidence that show the prosecutor withheld important information from the defense and the jury, that the prosecutor, Johnny Sutton, lied on some very material points. One of the key ones was that this drug smuggler, a guy named Davila, came back in the United States. Johnny Sutton gave him a border pass and immunity to be his star witness. Well, Davila evidently used the border pass. He brought another load of marijuana into the country. Another 750 pounds. Well, lying drug smuggler, why not?
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mr. Sutton. I'll be seeing you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so Sutton, instead of bringing this forward and saying, I'm sorry, but my lying drug smuggling key witness just brought another load of dope in, I guess I'll have to drop my case, Johnny Sutton took the true prosecutorial road under the Bush administration. He lied. He said, no, this never happened. He brought it to the jury. With the jury, what they said was, you know, this is sealed information. You can't see it. And Johnny Sutton even told me that the second drug incident never happened. Well, then we got a hold of Department of Human Services reports and Department of Homeland Security reports from their Inspector General's office. We got a hold of DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration reports that documented the second drug offense, even gave the name of the stash house where he brought the drugs. The guy was Cipriano Ortiz Hernandez. I've got Cipriano Ortiz Hernandez's ID and his Social Security number. By the way, he's a drug-dealing illegal immigrant living in Clint, Texas at the time. Of course, with those two pieces of identification, just a little detail, he could have voted in Texas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's a detail. I mean, so, okay, Johnny Sutton then just kept this from the jury and lied about it, and we brought that forward now, and Congress is starting to demand hearings, and I think there's a basis here for demanding a new trial. It's following into a pattern of these cases that we're identifying and writing about in WorldNet Daily.
It was just about a minute to go. Any indication that that will happen?
Well, there was one case of David Sipe, who I'm writing about tomorrow, WorldNet Daily, and it dragged on for 7 years. The government did the same type of things, including getting a lying Mexican who was this time a coyote transporting illegals into the country.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him immunity, all kinds of goodies. He brought more illegals into the country. Finally, the government demanded a new trial. And the new trial, with all the evidence presented to the jury, it took them about an hour to acquit David Sipe. Of course, after 7 years, his life was ruined by the U.S. prosecutors. And that's probably what's going to happen to Ramos and Campion. They've got small children. They're in federal prison now. And Johnny Sutton's just lying away.
Jerome Corsi is our guest. We're talking about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the impending North American Union. I'm Derek Gilbert. You're listening to The Drive, and our conversation continues in less than 4 minutes on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Are we watching the end of the United States as we know it? That's the opinion of our guest, or at least judging by the title of his forthcoming book, The Late Great United States of America. Jerome Corsi is with us. Jerry, thanks for spending your afternoon with us today. Bringing this all to a head again, how it affects us here in mid-Missouri, ultimately, what is the impact to the average working guy, working woman here in mid-Missouri, if and when the North American Union, the borders between U.S., Canada, and Mexico are broken down and we integrate into one super state? What happens to us?
Derek, a lot of things are going on. First of all, any manufacturing or small manufacturing of any kind is likely going to be shipped to China, increasingly all of it. Because if under the Security and Prosperity Partnership and North America agenda, the multinationals can go to the lowest possible cost of production of goods, they're going to go to zero if they can, and you can't do better than China for that.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing they'll do is they'll re-engineer and restructure the transportation systems in order to get the cost of goods as close to zero as they can, and that means opening up Mexican ports to bring the goods in through containers in Mexican ports, Mexican trucks. You're going to see Missouri with a lot more Mexican trucks headed to Kansas City, and then east and west from Kansas City carrying these containers. You'll probably have your highways reconfigured over the next 25 or 50 years as these Trans-Texas Corridor designs get carried northward from Texas. They're going to build them from Laredo right up to the border south of Oklahoma City, and from there they'll head to Kansas City once the investment bankers get in place. Foreign cartels will come in and buy them. That one in Texas is going to be owned by Cintra, which is a group in Spain, and they'll collect the tolls on it. So under the PPP, the private-public partnerships, which the Bush administration is pushing, you'll see increasing efforts to lease roads all through Missouri, especially these those international trade corridors to foreign entities, and you'll be paying tolls on them. Expect the job base to go down. In terms of all the lower category, lesser skilled jobs, lower education, well, probably right now Missouri is not quite as inundated with illegal immigrants as California or Texas, but they're coming. And any of your food processing or other plants that are around, any people who work in that, forget it, because you'll be competed with by Mexicans who are willing to do it a lot less.
Now, you mentioned public-private partnerships, and we've been talking about that on my show here on the Eagle 93.9. The partner of Cintra, one of Cintra's partners, Zachary International Infrastructure, has proposed an unsolicited bid to build a new toll bridge across the Mississippi River at St. Louis.
Well, there you go.
So we've already seen that beginning here
in
Missouri.
That's just the start. I've been writing about in WorldNet Daily the seminars that have been being held by a group in London called Euro Money Seminars. I think the next one coming up here in Miami in a few months costs about close to $3,500 to attend. They're going to take 50 to 100 state officials from around the country, and they're going to teach them how to do public-private partnerships, you know, PPPs, to sell infrastructure in Missouri and other states to foreign entities. So that's not only going to include your highways, it's going to include your water departments, your schools, your prisons, all kinds of things that are today public infrastructure. The goal is to have them operated by foreign entities who will then lease them and be paid for on lease and toll and other bases.
Jerome Corsi is our guest on the Eagle 93.9. We're talking about the implications of the North American Union, the Security and Prosperity Partnership. Getting back to the meeting in Ottawa, the media in Canada, the newspapers in Canada, reported on it to some degree. In fact, they even were reporting on the complaints of secrecy that some critics have leveled against this SPP. But here in the U.S., the Sunday morning after the meeting in Ottawa between Secretary Rice, Secretary Chertoff, and their Mexican and Canadian counterparts, Secretary Rice appeared on Fox News Sunday and on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. And the best I can tell, she was not asked about the meeting in Ottawa by either one of them. Why is the media taking a pass on this story, Jerry?
Well, largely the mainstream media is in favor of North American integration. I mean, increasingly, let's face it, our media is losing its audience for good reasons. They don't cover the news anymore. And, you know, radio shows like yours, Derek's, are required for people to know what's going on.
Thank you.
And, you know, the media have an international agenda because they think bigger is better. They're, you know, eventually all going to be owned by a few giants. I don't think, you know, I get my Wall Street Journal every day. I don't think they could print it smaller without handing out a magnifying glass. That's the, you know, it's a great shrinking Wall Street Journal. Well, the USA Today, they're publishing in a shrinking form. I noticed they revised their internet site to make it even more ridiculous. It's like, you know, a newspaper guy is trying to run an internet site. They don't get it.
No, and it is, the media is changing. There's no question about that. And the New York Times now has more internet readers than it does readers of its paper edition.
I'm surprised anybody reads the New York Times, to be honest with you.
Well, I agree with you there.
You know, unless you have a particular reader, you know, first of all, the New York Times is entirely political reporting, even more so than when I was a kid. And secondly, their investigative style of journalism has diminished increasingly. They reprint press releases and, you know, what they're told to print, and you'll find, by and large, that many of the key stories are just missed altogether, aren't even included in the paper. I mean, you know, we've got a stock market that's been going through a dramatic shift right now, got Secretary Paulson over in China, and I doubt if anybody understands how this is all tied into the Security and Prosperity Partnership, because with all this manufacturing going to China, China now has $1 trillion in foreign exchange currency, $700 million of which is held in U.S. dollar assets.
Hmm.
Well, they're trying to diversify away from the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to, you know, damp down on stock speculation in China. And as a result, their stock market's corrected about, I don't know, double digits. Well, ours is corrected as a function of it. Because when they changed the margin laws and the speculation laws in China today, that causes downward effects on our market. Our market is heavily tied to and dependent upon China, as is our foreign exchange trade imbalance, our deficit, where we sell treasury bonds to China in that foreign exchange market to finance our deficits.
And when you say dependent on China, do you mean that the Chinese actually have power to do us harm if they so choose?
Absolutely. The Chinese said tomorrow, we want to destroy you economically, and they dumped a large portion of their dollar assets in foreign exchange currency. They could devalue our dollar overnight.
We just have about a minute and a half left, Jerry. The SPP, part of this globalist agenda, apparently, what happens, how do we stop it, and what is the upside if we manage to recover the sovereignty that that our leaders, business, and government are trying to sell out?
Well, first of all, the key issue is to have people be informed, because the reason they're trying to hide it from the people, not bring it forward in a very public way, is they're afraid of waking up the American people. They like to wake up the American people when it's too late. You know, there's 50 million illegal immigrants in the that's double the number or triple the number. Well, at that point, then it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's happening in a gradualist form, you know, one step by another, which makes the next step inevitable, you know, so now they say, well, we can't round up 20 million Mexicans and send them home, so I guess we have to keep the borders open.
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, that kind of thinking is what will evolve us into a European Union-style government, a North American Union, and loss of sovereignty to the detriment of the American middle class. I agree with Lou Dobbs on this, and I think Lou Dobbs is one of the few major national news sources that is covering this. We're trying to do as best we can. We're doing, you know, getting the word out at WorldNet daily on a continuous basis, and I think, you know, writing this book in June, getting it out in the stores, will make also a big impact.
Well,
people know about it. I think they'll want to stop it, and I still have great faith in the power of the American people to rise up and say, no, we're not going to do this.
Put pressure on our elected officials in Congress to make sure that this is stopped.
And it's Republican and Democrat alike. You know,
that's
you're
right.
Going to see another McKennedy, you know, McCain and Kennedy combining, and you'll have Chuck Hagel in it and Sam Brownback, another guest worker amnesty bill here pretty soon.
Yep.
Democrats and Republicans alike. Republicans think, well, more cheap labor from Mexico. Democrats think another generation of impoverished underclass that could be our voters for the future. They're both going to do everything they can to rush and open the borders and have more of this North American integration going on, not less.
Dr. Jerome Corsi is the author of the forthcoming book, The Late Great United States of America, that will be due out in June. Website with a lot of the documents that he's obtained under Freedom of Information Act requests, stopspp.com. That's stopspp.com. Jerry, thanks for joining us on The Drive this afternoon.
Derek, great honor to be with you again. Thank you very much.
Stick around. Coming up, it's Michael Savage and the Savage Nation next on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.